This is David Soselsky, Southern Oral History Program, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's January 29th, and Kathy Newfont and I are in Burnsville, North Carolina. This is a follow-up interview with Ms. Betty Ballou. Kathy did the first interview sometime last year.
Where's the picture? Where did you grow up? In that.
Okay.
We have a picture of.
Somewhere over here. This is the front of the dam, and to the right there's a sort of a little hollow where the mountains separated. There was a house, a barn, a farm. Mm-hmm. And that's where I grew up. But my mother had grown up back here at the back where this water just begins, somewhere right in here.
Above the lake?
Where the lake is.
So
the place where she grew up
she
is under the lake. So as it turned out, neither one of us could ever go home because it was all covered in water. I was actually born over here in this little niche.
That's above the water? Or
it's in the water.
It's under the water, mm-hmm. too.
It's under the water. And this ugly clear cut is the one that was on the mountain behind where I grew up. Literally above my head, sort of, as I was growing up. And
What year were you born, Betty?
1940.
And what are your earliest memories?
My earliest memories
of North
are...
How far back can you go?
I guess I was about three. We were staying with my aunt here at the top of the dam in that house where my mother had grown up because my father was off in the war. And we stayed there a lot. And she became ill. She had cancer. My mother stayed with her to take care of her. I can remember that house. It was a two-story house.
Frame?
Yes, it had a fireplace and a long kitchen. They didn't have water. They had a spring. We carried water.
The spring was behind the house?
It was below the house. The road that actually went up through the middle of the North Fork Valley went right in front of that house. And so the house was on the left of the road. And then down below the road... there was a barn. I can't exactly. It was like going downhill. A barn over to the right, and above it there was a spring that was covered, and it was beautiful. It was so cold, and then she had a.
It was covered with,
It was covered, sheltered, so that things wouldn't fall in, and then she had a spring box where she kept butter and milk and things, and it was so cold it would be as firm as if it were in my refrigerator.
And she the box was like right down in the spring in the spring.
And
I got
they had built a trough like thing to set the jars and things in, but we had to carry water from that distance to the house in buckets.
I got disoriented when you were describing where things were. So, did y'all have a front porch?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and when you look out the front porch, what'd you see?
From that house, that's where my mother grew up.
Okay.
That's where my mother grew up.
Did you look down on the road? Is that the way it went?
You looked right out at the road, and you looked down at the barn and all the other things, and the North Fork.
They were on the other side of the road?
Mm-hmm. They were on the other side. There was a stream that ran between the house and the barn. That, of course, probably came from the spring itself.
Big enough to you just walk
and then,
over it?
And then in the distance, like a quarter of a mile away, was the North Fork Creek that supplies that watershed.
And it was a real creek? You had a bridge over it? Or?
Oh, yes. In many places there were bridges. There were two big major bridges over it that I remember.
And then but the little spring, that you just stepped over the little creek that came out of it?
It had a... I don't remember, a foot log probably, something that he had built there to get to the
something
barn.
Something right in your yard.
Uh-huh. It wasn't in my yard. It was like, how far can I tell you, 100 yards or maybe further away from my yard. to get to that stream and to that barn.
Okay.
It was away from the house because, you know, even though up in Pennsylvania and here and about, they built their barn and then they had their house, but these people thought you had to have the barn away from your house because it was unclean. So so it was it was a good distance.
And what else would you have seen? Like on the front porch, what else would you have seen?
I would have seen a mountain in front of me behind that creek.
Did it have a name?
It probably did, but I couldn't tell you what it is. I can remember sitting on that porch and hearing the hooty owls at night over there on that mountain. But there were houses in the woods, you know. There was distances, like 2 or 3 miles apart, there would be neighbors. But not at the time I was there. It had been earlier before they took. By the time I was born and was growing up there, everyone had been moved out except the people who worked for the watershed, and my uncle was one of them.
Father's family, right? So there's a
my mother's family. My mother's father's family. My father's family didn't live up there.
That's right.
Well, actually, they did. As I told you, this place that I'm remembering first is the one where my mother grew up.
Right.
But the one where I was born is the one my father's parents had lived in when they worked for the county. The county had operated a farm up there to supply the prison. And they had leased that property from I don't know whom, the Burnetts, I guess. I don't know how they got it. So that's how Mama met my daddy. He lived there and she lived up the road. And then after they were married, my grandparents moved away, and Mom and Dad lived in that house until after I was born.
How far were they apart? Was it just a 10-minute walk, or was it
early? Oh, no, it was a mile or two. If you went around the road, it was probably a 15- or 20-minute walk.
Okay. So you had the barn. Was there anything else on the front porch? You got the mountain in front of you. Was there a farmyard? Did you have chickens or?
Oh, they had cows and chickens and horses and pigs and the whole business. I remember that off to the left of that house was a lot. He called it the hog lot, but it was very big. It was like a half acre, and it had a huge walnut tree in the middle of it where I used to have a swing that he built me out of a buggy seat. It was hanging on this tree.
Did you eat the walnuts?
Oh yes, they were black walnuts.
I love black walnuts.
I don't remember much about that place except that sometime during the war they moved my uncle out, and because always it was an ominous impending doom, they were going to build the dam. And it took them 15 years after I was born to do it, and I don't know how long it had been before then. I don't remember the dates, do you, when they bought that property?
When they first
literally
bought it?
Uh-huh.
They condemned it in the 20s sometime.
See, my mama was a little girl.
Right.
And so, literally, she grew up there with most of the people having already been moved out because my uncle worked for the city. He was a warden.
Right.
And behind that house was large fields. He grew corn. He farmed. And I can remember him plowing with a horse and cultivating the corn. He had a wagon that he would haul all the stuff he needed to the field. The horse would pull the wagon. I remember riding on the wagon. And I remember her feeding me biscuits with something on them, butter and sugar. I thought that was the worst thing I ever had to eat, and I would like it now when we would go
too
to the field. And I remember he would get on the horse and take the corn and ride out to Black Mountain to wherever you went to have the corn ground and then come back with cornmeal.
Wow.
So,
did he grow anything else? I mean, like cash crop? Did he
grow
tobacco?
They did not grow tobacco in that area.
Uh-huh.
They grew food to eat. They canned. They preserve their food. He grew corn, potatoes, beans, whatever they could grow, they grew it and canned it and survived on it.
Where was the garden?
It was somewhere behind that house, attached to that cornfield, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I remember it was a good distance. It was behind the cornfield. It was a good half mile. You had to walk there.
Mm-hmm. And so you spent, how long were you there, and then when were you at the other house? Where are most of your childhood memories from? I mean, were they at this house?
Most of them are at the other house after we moved out. When they moved Aunt May and Uncle George out of that house, my mom and my brother and I, we were actually supposed to be living with my grandparents, my dad's family. Uh-huh. But because she had become ill with cancer, we stayed there a lot. So we were back and forth. But they moved them out from that place to the place where I was born, which stayed intact until 1954,
when they built the dam.
Uh-huh. And that's mostly where I grew up.
It was a beautiful place.
It was an old house with, it was a two-story house. It didn't have a bathroom, but they had piped water in. So she had running water, and she could heat water with a tank that was attached to the wood stove. She had a wood range, so she could heat water. There was hot water, but there was no inside bathroom. That's where I lived most of my life, because even though Dad got out of the Navy and built a house for us, because she was sick all the time, we stayed with her most of the time. Mm-hmm. So to take care of her, mm-hmm. she had cancer for 12 years. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that she lived so long, but yeah. she did. And
was she convalescent that whole time?
No. She would have a lot of good times and a lot of very sick times, but that's when radiation first started being used, and they would do those treatments, and then after being sick from them for a while, she would get better. Uh-huh. But eventually, the cancer just sort of took over her whole body, and she died when I was 15, about a year after they moved them again. They started the construction of the dam, and they had to move out, so they bought some land in the North Fork community, mm-hmm. that's much closer to Black Mountain,
right?
And built a house, and they allowed them to tear down the old house and take the lumber and build the house that's there now. It's been sold two or three times, but my father built a house. Mm-hmm. And
let's stay back before your mother passed and before the move for a while.
Okay.
What was that house like? Was it a working farm too? Or?
Mm-hmm. He of course had a job, and he was paid by the watershed.
Uh-huh.
But he would not have lived any other way. He didn't know how not to farm. Uh-huh. So he had two horses, and they had cows, and they had a garden, and he always planted corn. I remember there was this large field near the Root Creek, bottom land they call it, where he would farm and grow corn, and then he harvested it and put it in the barn and took care of the animals. Of course, Mama didn't work until I was a teenager, and so she stayed home and helped my aunt do all this canning and all this stuff, and Daddy worked in beef manufacturing.
Where were we? You said the creek. Is that that house was closer to the what did they call it? The North Fork Creek.
Actually, they were probably both about the same distance from it as you look. If you could see the valley from my uh-huh. vision, it where I started talking to you and said I was about 3 years old, and we were at my aunt and uncle's house. The road goes right up through the middle of the North Fork Valley. If you could see the picture of the dam
right.
and envision the road under it, it'd be right about in the middle of the dam. And we were on the opposite side of it, the beginning. Uh-huh. And now we've moved to a house that's on the other side and close. Uh-huh. If you could go to this dam somewhere here, mm-hmm. not far, there's a gate where the road comes, and then it travels around the front of this dam. But it did travel around this way and go right up the middle of the dam.
Okay.
There was a hill and a church, and they moved the church too. The church is still in the North Fork Valley, but it's it was moved, the cemetery, the whole business. Well, and that house was very close to this gate. It was right around behind this hill. And the other house was up here, and here's the road going up the middle.
Hmm. Well, what kind of girlhood did you have there? Were you expected to do a lot around the house when you were little, or did you have...
Probably not enough. I was a pretty pampered kid, actually. My aunt thought that I shouldn't have to do anything, and my mama... I didn't have to grow up working hard as far as canning and things went. Mm-hmm. I just had a really great place to run and be. It was beautiful and quiet. And I remember sitting on the front porch wrapped up in some garment to keep me warm and listen to the blasting when they were building the Blue Ridge Parkway. Mm. And
you could hear that from...
Uh-huh. And you could see the rain coming down the mountain. In just sheets before it ever started to rain where I was. It was a wonderful place to be.
It feels very protected the way you describe it.
I did feel very protected because I was in a place where not many people could go.
Right, I forgot.
And I knew that, and I liked that. I guess it made me almost antisocial. I was a very shy child, so I liked going home and being there.
Do you remember the games you played? Things he did in the woods?
Oh, I had a dog, a wonderful dog. And we would just wander around.
What was his name?
Chief.
Chief.
My father was a Navy man. And when we got the dog, he said his name was Chief. I would wander off. Mama never knew where I was going. She would have kept me at home. I'd be in the woods over at the creek, just wandering around. As long as I had the dog, I thought I was surely safe.
And what'd you do?
I just...
You pretend games?
Pretend games. You know, little girls have a lot of fantasies, and I read fairy tales and all sorts of things, and I guess I just... I don't remember what I was doing except that I was there and I was happy. Uh-huh. I had a playhouse over by the spring, up the side of the hill. I liked to play where the moss grew because it was like a carpet. Mm-hmm. And
you mean like right down by the creek?
Mm-hmm. On the hillside above the house, there was a laurel thicket. Uh-huh. And under that thicket, there was a lot of green moss. Uh-huh. And it was a soft place to mm-hmm. and clean, you know, a nice place to be. Mm-hmm. I built a playhouse. I had a stove you wouldn't believe. It was better than a fireplace. And then I remember...
You really... Start a fire up there?
Oh, no, I didn't do that. I had good imagination.
Uh-huh. Get a lot of and heat out of imagination.
I used to play in the spring. If they knew that, they would have beaten me because you just don't play where you drink the water. But there was this nice crawfish that I wanted to catch. I don't believe it.
Did you always stay close to the house?
No. I had a bicycle as well. Uh-huh. And there was this long drive to get from the main road to actually get to the house. It went around the side of a hill and curved in front of the barn and came back down to the house. It was a wonderful place to ride. It was probably a quarter of a mile. And if I wasn't doing that, I was just running off someplace.
Were there places, that, like favorite places you had to go?
Mm-hmm. I like to play near the water. There was a little branch that ran down through the middle of this property. Past the barn, that's where the horses and cows drank, you know. Uh-huh. I used to chase the little ducks. I remember spending a whole day trying to find one. I could hear it, but I couldn't find it. And it was in that branch playing.
So you did find it.
But I liked to play in the barn. It was one that had a room over here and stalls over there and a place through the middle like a... What am I trying to say? You could drive a car through it. It was open on both ends.
Right.
And it smelled good, the hay and stuff.
It had a loft.
Mm-hmm.
You go up to the loft.
Mm-hmm. My uncle used to have a corn crib. I'd go and watch him shell the corn. He had a thing that he put on his hand to get the dry shucks off. Mm-hmm. and then he put it in this little machine that cranked by hand to get the corn off the cob, and then he fed it to the animals.
He had horses?
Mm-hmm.
You never got to play with the horses? They were workhorses?
They were workhorses, and I was really afraid of them. And I had no reason to be. The things wouldn't have hurt anybody. But I do remember one day he left his horse attached to the plow at the garden. He was plowing out the weeds, you know, how you cultivate the potatoes. And he left the horse and went to get water. And I decided to tell the horse to go. And I did, and she did. And and we ruined a whole row of potatoes.
Oh, no.
He didn't say a word to me. He was mad, but he didn't say anything. I was all upset. There were grapevines there near that garden. I could walk under them and pull the grapes off.
Wild grapes, they were cultivated?
They were cultivated grapes. Uh-huh. And I remember going and pulling the grapes off to eat them. They were so sweet. Those vines came with them when they moved, and part of them are still alive. My brother has them in his yard now.
Oh, that's great. What kind were they doing now?
I don't know. They were pink, and those were the sweet ones, and there were some purple ones. They're the kinds with seeds. Mm.
Did y'all just eat them, or did you?
Mama made jam, jelly, and stuff with them. They were in her yard as long as she lived, and when I sold the house, my brother dug the things up and took them to his yard. But she had made jelly the year before from those grapes.
Were there other things that you could take with you?
She took the rhubarb. It was growing in her garden for years, and then it died. I don't know why. They took the rose bushes. There's a rose bush it's still in the yard. I sold the house to my nephew, so it's still in the family. Mm-hmm. Little purple roses, very small, with yellow centers. I've never seen any more like them. And it climbs. It's a rambler. But I don't remember what else we could have taken.
Were there fruit trees?
There were apple trees, some pear trees, but they didn't take any of those that I remember.
They were up closer on the house? Or as you can tell, I'm trying to create I want to...
There was one.
It's gone now. I want to create we want to create like a visual picture of what
there was one apple tree near the house. I had a swing on it. There were oak trees mostly in the yard at the house where I grew up. Big old oak trees with roots on the ground. They were so old.
Uh-huh.
And I also liked to play in those roots. I remember having a playhouse behind the house where there was a tree stump. The house had been built near this tree stump, and there were roots all over the place, and I would play there. I had rooms. It was like a castle. My word, you can do anything with that many holes in the ground. And then I had this little truck. I played with tiny little toys. I put all my creatures, whatever they were, dolls and chickens and little, my aunt would always collect little tiny ceramic things for me to play with. Mm-hmm. And load them all up, and I'd push them forever around the house and across the yard and down to the spring. This would take all day. We'd take a trip, and then we would come back. So that kept me occupied. In the meantime, my brother was out making slingshots and doing evil things to the birds. But I remember when the war was over, my grandmother and my grandfather came there to tell us that the war was over and Daddy would get to come home. He'd been gone 2 years. My grandmother was a short woman. She probably was maybe 5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And at that point in her life, about as broad as she was long. Just a little round, chubby thing. But I don't know what you know about the religion in these mountains, but there was people who, in Free Will Baptist churches and Holiness churches, they shout and jump up and down and wave their arms and get very happy and spiritual in the Lord. Well, that was my grandmother.
She was a happy woman.
Mm-hmm. She got out of that car and started jumping up and down, praising the Lord and waving her arms. And all I can remember thinking was, she's going to break her neck. I didn't know what that was all about. But I knew she was going to break something if she didn't stop. But even in the distance, you could hear bells and guns and things. People were making noise everywhere because the war was over. Wow. That was right after they dropped the bomb on Japan.
Did the family do more than farm off the land? Did the men hunt? Did they trap? Did
at earlier times they had been able to do that, but after it became the actual watershed, it was posted property. Not needless to say, they fished and hunted anyway if they wanted to. My uncle did, mm-hmm. but they weren't supposed to, mm-hmm. and they didn't kill things anymore. You know, I think when he grew up, they hunted for meat to eat.
Right.
But he would go out and let his dogs chase foxes and things and just listen to them. But I can't remember him ever really killing anything.
Did the family use the woods for other things, for wild plants, for food, or for medicine, or anything like that?
No, they didn't.
Maybe earlier generation.
I think that they had. They knew how, because I can remember Mama saying that they had given her some sort of tea from sassafras.
There is a sassafras tree.
And she described it as the most vile potion she'd ever swallowed. But they didn't do that after I... In my memory, I can't remember anybody doing that. Uh-huh. I think that they used honey to make tea and stuff. But they had some really... My mother-in-law... had some really peculiar notions about medicine and babies and things mm-hmm. that had been passed on to her.
Peculiar, like?
I remember her saying that she had to hold her hand over one of her children's eyes so he wouldn't look up and get his eyes stuck up or something. She thought that she had to do to uh-huh. shade... so that he wouldn't hurt his eyes. They believed that you could put onions and grease on you and cure anything. I do believe that that was a good treatment at the time people had typhoid in the mountains because it generated heat. Typhoid must have caused congestion, as from what I read, and that would help them to cough it up. And they've done that to me when I was little. And they thought I had what they called the croup.
That makes you smell good.
Oh, I think that I did well to overcome the treatment.
Yeah.
But not really. They didn't use the woods to get herbs and things that I can remember. Mm-hmm.
What did you do for entertainment? I mean, you're out there in the middle of... You didn't have MTV? You didn't have
television? Did I? Thank goodness. I learned to read. they had radio. Mm-hmm. I can remember my uncle sitting listening to the World Series on that radio. Mm-hmm. And they would listen to the news always. Mm-hmm. I guess that once they were able to do that, their world became a lot broader because, you know, when he was growing up, Duke Mail forever get anywhere, and they were kind of in a closed world. It was their world, but after I started going to school, I had enough to entertain me. You know, I was happy, and we went to church. The church was just over on the hill from my house.
Now, was this the church that was moved?
Mm-hmm.
So even in those years, people came back to go to church there, or.
The people that left didn't come back, but the people in the extended community, the Morrises, and
so they lived off the watershed.
McAfees, and they had never lived on the watershed. They were just part of the North Fork Valley that was more thickly populated, and that's what kept the church going. Those people came.
But wasn't the church located on the watershed?
It was... No.
Well, I might be getting confused.
It was.
Cause, didn't they, this was before they moved it, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess I guess it was, but it was on the very edge of it. Uh-huh. And I'm not even sure that it was. It may have been that they needed that edge to finish their dam, and they may have purchased that property at the very end. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that.
What was the name of the church?
Mountain View Baptist Church, and that's still the name of it. It's It's still it's there now in the North Fork Valley on the hill, and it was they purchased land for the Morris family to rebuild the church and the cemetery.
What did the church look like then?
It was it had been at one time a wood frame building, and it burned. So they rebuilt it, and it had creek rocks on the outside. It was a stone building.
The whole thing was stone. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty.
It was beautiful, and not very big, but it was pretty. And then when they moved it, they rebuilt it that way.
Did it have a steeple or tall?
It still does.
Tall or?
Yeah. The front and tall.
And what were the windows like?
They were not stained windows. They were just ordinary windows. And
glass.
Mm-hmm.
That you could see through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it had a wood heater in it to keep it warm.
Where was it? Up front
in
or back?
In the front.
Uh-huh.
In the front.
Just like a potbelly stove or like a big square?
It was round. It was not big. It was small.
Uh-huh.
I can't really remember. And that's where I first started playing the piano in church.
Was it sunny inside?
Mm-hmm. It was bright inside. It was facing the sun, actually, in the morning.
Sounds really pretty.
Uh-huh. It was pretty.
Did you like going to church when you were a girl?
I did. I remember even after we didn't live on North Fork, when I was with my grandparents a lot, we would come there to church. And at Christmas, we would come and have a Christmas tree and Santa Claus and gifts at Christmas Eve. I remember that.
And
I remember going there one time in the snow.
Uh-huh. At Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Did you walk there?
No. By then, they were driving cars, and we would come in the car. And then after I got old enough to go, my mother didn't go to church with me a lot because my mother was, I know now, I didn't know then, I think suffered from depression. And there were times when if she went to church, she would become emotionally upset and cry for days. So Daddy got so he just didn't take her. Mm-hmm. But I would go. And then I started to play the piano. So these people, the Walkers, he was the person who sang in church and directed the music. And she was very active in the Sunday school, so they wanted me to play for them to sing. And they got me started playing in church that way. And when the church moved, I then became the church pianist for years. And
well, how'd you learn?
I took music lessons from a lady in the public school. Her name was Mrs. McDougall.
And you learned at school? Or
I learned private lessons. I would leave my class and go, and she would teach me.
At her house?
At the school.
Oh, at school.
At the school. She was allowed to do it at the school. Her husband was a school principal. That might have been a good reason for that. She was wonderful. And do you know, when we started all of that out, I do believe it cost about $1 a lesson. And that was a lot for my parents to have to come up with once a week. And then sometime down the road, and I did this for 9 years till I got to high school and just didn't have time anymore, I think she may have charged me $1.50, maybe less. That's all it ever costs.
It's changed.
Yeah. It certainly has. So.
Well, was the family musical, or was it, were you playing an instrument unusual?
The family was musical, but I was probably the first one in many years that has really learned to read music. I have relatives on my daddy's side of my family who sang in quartets by a system they call rote. Do you know about that? It's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And the notes,
like shape notes,
are shaped. And they could read it any time. Mm-hmm. They saw it, they knew what that sound was. Now, I, on the other hand, would never be able to do that, but I can read the music. They sang, and those were the most musical people in my family. I was the only one that I know of on Mama's side of the family for years that could read music. I don't know if any of them can now.
Uh-huh. Were the people that played instruments too?
Yes, they played guitar and banjos. My Uncle George played banjo for me. I remember him doing that so much.
He played at the house, or he played?
He played at the house. And
was that the uncle that you lived with?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He did. At Christmas, he would always open up the fireplaces because they kept them closed up most of the time, and build fires and get out that banjo and play songs for me.
Is that the only time he did it? Christmas?
Just about.
And he played Christmas carols? Or?
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not. I remember my grandfather, my daddy's father, used to sing in church in a quartet. And I can remember this was just a little bit off balance. Even when I was a small child, he would go out and get so drunk and come home and lose his car, and they'd have to go out and find it. And then on Sunday morning, he'd go and sing in church at the top of his lungs. And I remember thinking, as a small child, there's something wrong with this picture.
These things make a big impression on the child.
But he was a good man. He had a little problem, but my grandmother eventually got him straightened out, and he was okay.
Do you remember special times at the church that were especially important to you? Things that happened, or a holiday that was especially memorable? And here, I mean, of course, but before the move.
Before the move, I was too small. I don't remember much except the Christmas time vacation Bible schools. We had them outside in the yard mostly, because it was just one little. The building itself had no Sunday school rooms. It was just one big room. And the pews had been handmade. And so we couldn't have all these children inside doing vacation Bible school in separate groups. The last one I attended there, we did it outside. I remember sitting at the edge of the woods on a log.
There weren't even like picnic tables?
Not unless we were having homecoming and then somebody would come and build them, but no. I remember my Sunday school class being out on the steps in front of the church. There was a road, the drive went in a circle, kind of like an S shape, up the hill and around in front of the church and then behind it. And the steps to the church went right down into that little driveway, and we would sit on those steps and have our Sunday school class.
That sounds nice.
There was this lady who taught my Sunday school class for years and years. Her name was Lucille Morris. Very reserved little lady. I can't remember her in anything that wasn't dark. But she was a very good Sunday school teacher. How she managed to raise a daughter that was the biggest brat in church, I never understood that either. But I think she was just too kind to discipline the child. I think that was the problem. And I don't know, I just know that I had a passion for being there. It was important to me to get to go to church, because I needed that safety that I felt church brought me, what it stood for in my life.
Even before that, at what age did you feel like a real calling?
I was about 11 years old when I was finally, I had joined the church, and then I didn't get baptized until they had already torn it down and moved it. And I was still baptized in North Fort Creek, though.
You were? outside of the...
Up there in the watershed, they let us go and find a place that was deep enough to do it.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm. It was in, like, about June, and still it was cold.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I bet. But, so even before that time, you felt this feeling of comfort in the mm-hmm. church already. It wasn't just mm-hmm. something that the older people were doing.
I had a pastor most of the time that was, he taught school as well, well-spoken. He didn't scream and holler and jump up and down. He made made it something you could understand and want to be a part of.
What was his name?
Eugene Bird. And I think the man's still alive, and he lives in Boone now, mm-hmm. in that area.
What was the, you said that the, you remember the Christmases real well.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly did that happen? You'd go up, everybody would go up Christmas Eve?
Or? Mm-hmm. And Christmas Eve they would have a service, and they usually would have a normal service of worship, and then gifts for the children, and candy and nuts and things. In bags, uh-huh. And Santa Claus would come, and I always thought, "Who do they think they're fooling? I know who you are."
did you always think that? Or
I always
did.
I never believed in Santa Claus in my life, but I thought I had to pretend so Mom and Daddy would be happy.
The things you think you're putting past children.
You just don't always get it done. I knew better. I had sense enough to know he couldn't get down that chimney. I remember my aunt taking me out in the yard. Remember we were talking about the house with the porch on the front, the first house.
Uh-huh.
The porch roof was slanted down, and I remember her taking me out and showing me footprints in the snow where the reindeer were on that roof, and I didn't believe that either. But there were holes up there in the snow. She thought I believed her. I didn't let her think different.
So, do you have something you want to ask?
Well, I was just going to ask about the Christmas again.
Okay,
I just had one
Christmas.
More question about it. Then you have a separate, you had your Christmas at home too?
Yes.
Or was this the...
No, I had Christmas at home. Mom and Daddy always made a good Christmas for us. I know that for many years they would go charge things at Montgomery Ward, so we would have Christmas gifts and then spend the rest of the year paying for it.
Uh-huh. Do you think everybody in the community... what was as lucky as y'all? I mean,
there may have been people who were needier than we were. The very fact that my mother lived on a farm when she was growing up caused her to be secure as far as being fed and
right.
housed and nurtured. As a child growing up, I never felt that I went without anything. Mm-hmm. And I know there were times when we could have had more, but I didn't feel deprived at all. I don't know, because as I told you, my world was kind of secluded there,
yeah.
And I didn't socialize except on Sundays and when I went to school. So I didn't get to know until I went to school that there were people in my community that were not as well off as I was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kathy, what were you going to ask?
Well, it was a different thing altogether, so if you're...
That's okay.
Well, I was just... imagining you having Sunday school on the steps,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if you could tell us what that was like. Like, what did it look like from the steps? Like,
the church was behind us, and there was bright sunshiny mornings. Of course, if it was bad, we didn't do that.
Right.
Below us was the cemetery, and past that. It was a parking area with a huge tree. What kind of a tree did I say that is? I don't remember, but it was a very tall, big tree. And the road that went through the entire valley was beside that parking lot. And then across from that road was the actual road that we would go home. Right around the side of the hill. It was a pretty place, a beautiful place, and a place where I always felt safe. I remember going and picking the hydrangeas off the cemetery. They were great big blooms, and taking them home because they were on our graves, and I thought they were mine. and I remember sitting on the and, you know, graves used to have raised stones, one at the top and one at the foot, and I'd just sit on one of those and wait for the school bus. That was a good place for me. I never was afraid back there. Never. I think that's part of the reason why I loved it and didn't want to see it destroyed, because it was a safe, wonderful, quiet place where nothing should be endangered, not even the trees. And when it happened, I was grown. I was in my 40s and I was fit to be tied. It was painful to see that dam built. I remember crying myself to sleep night after night when they moved us away, because they were destroying everything I'd ever known. It still is painful.
I'm sorry, Betty. I don't mean to keep making you cry every time I come here.
It's just me. I do it all the time. Ask Lisa. But
some heart-wrenching story.
Yes. But after they built it, and fortunately I could still go there because we still cling to that clubhouse. My aunt and uncle were allowed to continue to do that, and when they died, Mama said she would do it just so we could go there. So I could go and at least see what I left behind. And once they had done all of that, I thought it was quite enough. And I still think it's enough. And anybody that thinks they should go back and cut those trees down doesn't know enough about it. Nice. They did declare the northern perimeter of that watershed a pristine forest. They won't ever touch that again. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really big of them, since it's straight up a rock cliff and they couldn't if they wanted to. But at least that much is protected.
Let me pause for just a second and turn the tape over.